During this period of time, one of the great things that I've noticed is a lot of people are talking about God. A lot of people are concerned about God and they're looking to God for deliverance and help and healing and everything else. But there was something in the manifestations there about how the devil is always around. And sometimes his attacks and the things he does are covert, they're not so obvious. And other times they're very overt, they're very obvious. So this is one of those times where his attack is obvious. But whether they're hidden or sly or sneaky or they're out in the open, they're still there. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's a great truth to know. Many people, beliefs, religions, blame God for sickness, disease, and death. Many make excuses for these things happening. Sometimes they say, well, God's testing you. Or sometimes they even say it's a blessing in disguise. Or you can earn merit points because you withstand the battle. Somebody dies, people say he's calling them home, or they're in a better place now. All these things are perpetrated by Satan to discredit God. But our God is a God of light. He's a God of love. He's a God of healing. I want you to go to Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, chapter 18. In verse 23, it says, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live." It's an interesting verse, isn't it? And then in verse 32, God says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye." Now, he was talking to Israel here because Israel was one of those times when they were off the track. They were going in the wrong direction. But even with the wicked, God said he had no pleasure in their death. God's desire is for people to live, to prosper, to be healthy, and to be blessed. He doesn't even want bad people to die. And he certainly doesn't want his children and his people to have problems. And we learned a long time ago, or many of us did anyway, that sickness is death in part. It's part of those things. It's negative. Death comes from the devil, not from God. He's the author of death. Life comes from God. He's the author of life. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 10, the famous verse that most of us all know, treasure love, it's ingrained, etched in our brains. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy." That is Satan. That's an apt description of the devil, of his job description, of what he does. He really doesn't do anything good. He may dress it up. He may act like he's doing something good. He may act like he was going to benefit someone, just like he did with Eve. He said, "Well, you could be like a god, and you shall not surely die." And he lies. He comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And then Jesus Christ said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." God sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You can't delineate any more clearly than that. The thief, his whole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus Christ's whole purpose was to bring life and bring it more abundantly. And of course, the more abundant life is a spiritual life. Once we are born again, we have eternal life spirit, so that the devil can never kill us. He can't destroy us. You know, once we're born again, we've defeated that part of his existence. Now, he can steal from you, right? He can steal from you. He can mess up your life if you're not aware of what he's trying to do. But if you look to God and his deliverance and you believe his word and you carry it out, God takes care of you. He protects you. He watches over you, and he will bless you. Let's go to 3 John 2. Epistle of 3 John in the back, right before Jude and Revelation. Again, another great verse. You know, one of the things we learned a long time ago is the keys to receiving anything from God. And the first thing we always learn is, what is available? What is available? Well, eternal life is available, and health and prosperity is available. Here in verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." That's amazing. Above all things, that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. In the working translation by Walter Cummins, he translates this verse, "Beloved, I pray that you may be successful and healthy in all matters, even as your soul is successful." That's a pretty cool translation. I pray that you may be successful and healthy in all matters, in every aspect of life, even as your soul life, your breath life prospers or is successful. God wants us to be successful. He wants us to prosper, and he wants us to be healthy. He never wanted us to be sick. He never intended for man to die. Let's go to Proverbs. We're going to spend a little time in Proverbs because there's some great verses concerning God and his desire for his children. And of course, Proverbs was written or compilated by Solomon. And some of these scholars believe that some of these he wrote by revelation, and some of them were things that had been spoken of in the past, were in the oral law, and he wrote them down. Whatever. They're in the Bible now because God told him to write them down. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3 of Proverbs is where we're going to begin. And in verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." So here God says, my son, you know, my people. Proverbs is written to young people, and it's literally words to live by. So he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." So we're not to forget God's word. We're not to forget what he says, and we're to keep his commandments in our heart, which means the very depth of our soul, of our being, of our the heart of our mind. And then he says, "The benefit of this will be for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to you." So length of days means you're going to have full, rich days, length of life or a long life, and peace. You know, this is a period of time where people can become very unpeaceful. I keep seeing, I turn on the news periodically or the television, and I can't watch it too long because they say the same things over and over and over and over, and most of it's negative. But one of the things I watched is they talk about the psychiatrist and people have to be careful and so on and so forth, as they're lonely or they can't do the things they normally do. Well, we have God's peace, we have God's love, and we have each other, and we can call each other, and we can text each other, and do the things that we do. But we're not alone. None of us is alone. And God our Father will give us peace. And these are added to you. These are all added to you. So it's very important to keep his word in our minds and in our hearts. Let's go to chapter 4. Verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." Attend to my word. Pay attention to God's word. Don't ignore it. Don't forget about it. You know, this is a great opportunity and time for most people. I would dare say for everybody. If you're working from home, you don't have to commute, so you got extra time. If you're not working, you have more time. You have time for God's word. Everybody, even in normal life, we have time for God's word, but now we have even more time for God's word. So let's pay attention to it. Let's spend time with God. Verse 21, "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Again, you know, it said before in chapter 3, guard his commandments or keep his commandments. What does it say? Keep my commandments. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Here it says, keep them, and that word keep is guard them in the midst of thine heart. You know, get that word into your heart and then guard it. Keep it there. Don't let it go away. Don't forget about it. And then verse 22 says, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." God's word is health to your flesh. What a great thing. You know, that's the best antibiotic ever invented. God's word. Amazing. Go to chapter 16. There have been many times when people have heard God's word and just been healed. Not ministered, not prayed for, just heard God's word and they've been healed. Of course, the greatest healing is spiritual healing and mental healing, but physical healing also. Chapter 16, verse 24. "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Pleasant words, and the most pleasant words are God's words. God's words are the most pleasant, most pleasing words that you'll ever hear. They're the most loving words. They're the most perfect words. They're just absolutely healing to our life, to our flesh, and to our bones. Let's go to back to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart means, you know, give it all to God. You know, it's a wise thing to listen to the doctors and everybody else and what they're saying. Wash your hands, be careful, wash off surfaces. If you get a package in the mail, you know, disinfect it before you take it out and clean off whatever you get and then wash your hands again and all that stuff. It's all important. Stay home when you don't need to go anywhere. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Listen to him. Let him direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, respect the Lord, be in awe of the Lord, and depart from evil. You know, God's telling us how to stay healthy, what we need to do. And the first thing is we need to keep God's word in our hearts, in our minds. We need to pray for it and keep it there and dwell upon it and think about it. And then he's saying, to trust in him, acknowledge him in all our ways, be humble, respect God, be in awe of God, and depart from evil. Then it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health to thy navel. You know, when a baby's in the womb, the baby is connected to the mother through the umbilical cord. And the navel is what is the remainder of that umbilical cord after the birth. But the navel is where you get sustenance and oxygen and so forth in the womb. Well, you know, God's word is sustenance and spiritual oxygen to our bodies. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And marrow is where the blood is manufactured for your body. You know, certain diseases of the blood, sometimes they do marrow transplants so that people can have healthy blood again. Well, God's word is health to your marrow. It's a pretty important part of your body because life is in the blood. And it said that thousands of years ago in the Bible. It took till the 20th century for people to rediscover that. You know, today if you go to the doctor and you have something wrong with you, one of the first things they want to do is do a blood test. You know, if they want to know if you're a healthy person, they do a blood test. Why? Because life is in the blood. And God's word is health to the marrow, to thy bones. It's marrow to thy bones. You know, it helps you to be healthy and strong. Then it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, God will be our sufficiency, right? It says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your sufficiency, all your need. And then 2 Corinthians 9:18, he says he'll be our all sufficiency in all things, so that we may abound to every good work. He supplies our needs. He supplies what we need. Our barns will be filled, and our presses shall burst forth with new. I don't make wine, but you know, figuratively, we will have what we need to have. So God wants his people to be blessed. He wants them to prosper. He wants them to be healthy in all aspects of life, every aspect, not just one. Then in verse 21, it says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. You know, that's a little confusing, that verse. I have a translation from the NIV. It says, my son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. So, you know, it's kind of backwards in the King James, but the keep is preserve sound wisdom and discretion, and don't let them out of your sight. Keep them at the forefront of your mind. Verse 22, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. They shall be to your life. They shall bless your life. Unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. You know why? Because you're not worried about anything. You're not concerned. You're not freaking out. You're not, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Or I'm so nervous, or I'm so this, or I'm so that. When you put God's word in your mind and your heart, and you keep it there, when your eyes are on God, when you're focused on him and you are allowing him to direct thy steps, when you are trusting in him, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet. You know, and I can remember times in my life when something was affecting me and I would lie down and my mind would start racing and I couldn't go to sleep because, you know, something negative, something that I wasn't giving to God and allowing him to take care of. Once I would settle down and give it to God, my sweep was sweet. It was easy. My wife is amazed at how fast I can go to sleep. Verse 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Don't panic. That's what sudden fear is. Panic. You see something happen and you go, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? Step back, count to 10, take a deep breath, say, okay, God, you got this. You're my God. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Wow, what a great verse. And it's in the context of be not afraid of sudden fear of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Well, this is a desolation from the wicked, isn't it? This stupid virus thing. And that probably has been laying around for hundreds of years. It's not something that just happened. It was laying there, dormant somewhere. And God saw it coming, and God can take care of it because God's bigger than that. And he says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. God's going to watch over you. God's going to take care of you. He's going to bless you. You just got to keep his word in the forefront of your mind, in front of your eyes. You got to keep it, get it in your heart, and keep it there. Guard it. We have seen God's heart desire, his heart's desire for his people to be healthy and successful in all aspects of life. In all aspects of life, God's desire is for us to be blessed. And he tells us how, keeping his word in our hearts, keeping it there, guarding it. It is health to your flesh. Have respect, be in awe from God, depart from evil, and it will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What a great thing. The word is health. The word health is also translated whole and sound. Kind of interesting, that word in second. Third John 2, the word for healthy or health is the same word that is translated sound or whole. Let's go to 2 Timothy. So one of the things when you see it talks about sound doctrine, it's healthy doctrine. It's complete, it's whole. Nothing missing. It's not sick. It's not degraded in any way. Kind of a cool way to think about the Word of God when you have it rightly divided. In 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, it says, hold fast to the form of sound words. The word sound is healthy, the same word as healthy or whole. Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in believing and love which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? That word is a healthy word. The word itself is healthy when we rightly divide it and we understand it. And we are to believe it, and it's giving in love and in faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. We are completely, completely complete in Him. What a great thing. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. I said it before, but we'll look at it. I quoted it, I guess. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. Speaking to believers here, speaking to those that are born again. Ye are of God, little children. And greater is he that is in you. You're of God, little children. I've overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he. It's God in Christ in you. God in Christ in you. Wherever you go, God and Christ are with us. Jesus Christ is always at the right hand of God in the heavenlies, making intercession for us. He has made us more than conquerors in every situation. Greater is he that is in you, and have overcome them, because greater is he. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? The things of the world, the Antichrist, the evil spirits, the Satan and the devil and all that other stuff. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:57 that we have victory in Christ Jesus. We have the victory. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 possibly is my favorite chapter in the Bible. If not, it's in the top two. And it starts off with, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh. And then it ends with, that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a great thing. But let's pick it up in verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Tribulation is pressure, right? Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. And those are basically general things, but they're all negative, you know. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Is tribulation going to separate us from the... Can we be pressured so much that Christ will stop loving us, or distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Parentheses, a figure of speech. It's an aside. We would call it an aside. It says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, verse 37, in contrast, no, we're not. In all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of sword, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The word more than conquerors is the word hooper nikeo, right? It comes from the word Nike, which is, Nike was the is the word for victory, and it was also the goddess of victory in Greek mythology. But here in the Bible, it's used, we are more than conquerors, or super conquerors, or we're victorious beyond measure, you know? In the Olympics, when they threw the shot put, or the javelin, or the long jump, they measure, right? And they measure, and then the person that goes the furthest is the victor. Well, imagine somebody throwing that javelin or that shot put, or jumping so far that it was beyond measure. Victorious beyond measure. That's what that means. We are victorious beyond measure through him, through Jesus Christ, who loved us. See, we're not just victorious in Christ Jesus, we're victorious in Christ Jesus beyond measure. You know, you can't imagine how victorious we are. It's incomprehensible how great the victory is, which when we're gathered together, we'll start to see how great that victory truly is. You know, it says back in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When will that glory be revealed in us? At the gathering, when Christ comes back for us. You know, so the stuff that we go through now, you know, you got to stay at home for a month, you can't work, or you got to work from home, and, you know, you got to clean everything and be careful and all this other stuff, is not even worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in. That's a great way to think about things. Anytime I have to deal with anything negative, I always think about that verse. Back to verse 38. So we're more than conquerors, we're victorious beyond measure through Him, through Christ that loved us. For I am persuaded, I am persuaded, I am convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That covers a pretty wide range of stuff, right? I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, death really doesn't have a hold on us, right? Because we don't really die like that's the end of everything. We go to sleep, it's temporary. And then Christ comes back. We close our eyes and then we open our eyes. The other night, I had just the greatest night's sleep, and it was so sound and so deep. It was like it just, I closed my eyes, and the next thing I knew, it was 6:30 in the morning, and I was awake, and I was refreshed, and I was ready to go. That's death for us. That's what it's going to be. We're going to close our eyes, we're going to open it. So neither death nor life, no matter what is thrown at us in life, nor angels, and there that really refers to devil spirits, nor principalities, the rulers of this world, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Neither nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we have seen God's heart for us, God's desire that He wants us to be healthy and prosperous in everything, in all situations. Again, that verse in 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may be successful and healthy in all matters, even as your soul, your life, prospers." That's God's heart for us. That's God's desire for us. And He tells us how to do it. We keep His word in the forefront of our minds. We bury it in our heart and we hold it there. We hold on to the promises of God, and we hold God and His Son Jesus Christ in great awe and respect in our lives. And when we do that, it's health to our navel and marrow to our bones. So, God will take care of us. He'll bless us. He'll watch over us. Because He's our God, He's our Father, and He loves us with an infinite, perfect love.